when I think about the things in my life that have filled me with joy, I'm sure like many of you, my first thoughts go to my family. My husband and my children are endless sources of joy. And I think about major celebrations, whether that's holidays, weddings, birthdays, anniversaries. I think about vacations or just little get-togethers and laughter around the dining room table. But thinking about joy also brings to mind some relatively simple things. Music, birds singing, a sunrise, a cup of coffee. But you know, I also think about times when we have come through something really difficult, some sort of pain or struggle or even grief. And as we emerge from those dark days, there comes a time where laughter returns, where light reemerges, where the load is lightened. And I have realized that joy was there all along. I just hadn't noticed it in a while. If we truly have joy, it's always there. Sometimes it bubbles out of us, like the little kids Thursday night. They were full of joy, or sugar, but maybe a little bit of both. But sometimes joy retreats deep inside of us. But I would contend that if you have known love, then you have known joy. Now you heard me teach the kids this song. Kids, are you guys ready to help me sing? Right? Here we go. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I wish I would have had a camera just then. Because you know what I saw? There was about four. And everybody else was, and I'm so happy, so very happy. You guys just earned the name Frozen Chosen. Let me tell you, your faces are frozen. All right. But friends, as Christians, God tells each and every one of us that we are loved and we are cherished. And it's when we can grasp onto that love, when we begin to feel that God's love is real and true and meant for us, that's when we start to have that joy in our hearts. And like we talked about, John Wesley saw this as such an important piece of the Christian life that this ranks as the second mark of a Methodist. First, God loves us, then we love God in return, and that love, that shared love, makes us rejoice in God. Now, I know we are all of good German, Scandinavian, Upper Midwest stock, and we just don't get too exuberant outside of sporting events. I get it. But what should bring us more joy? Option number one, the God of the universe looking at you and saying, I choose you to be my child, my heir, to help me build my kingdom, to share my love, return my love, and live with me eternally in paradise. Or, option number two, a bunch of guys you don't know, in a city you don't live in, who just happen to wear the right color shirt, crossing a line while carrying a ball. And that act will mean nothing a year from now. Which one should be more important? Which one should get us more worked up? Now, please, football fans, do not attack me. I love the sport as much as anybody. But in the big scheme of things, a touchdown doesn't mean much. Not when you compare it to God being willing to love me in spite of all my faults, all my failures, all my flaws, and still calling me to be a part of the great family of faith, now and for all time. You know what? That's personal. That's impactful. Not just today, not just tomorrow, but next week, next year, and forevermore. The gratitude that we should feel, that God's love should bring out of all of us, should be immense. Now, I know most of the time I'm pretty unlovable. I know that I am unworthy of God's grace and mercy. I know how often I turn my back on God and disappoint God, and it's more than I care to think about. I know that I will never feel deserving of all that Christ has done for me. And when I stop to think about all of that, I am just overwhelmed with gratitude. But that gratitude morphs into relief. And that relief brings about joy that I get to be a part of God's work here on earth. God's work is love and it is justice. God's work entails making this world a better place for everybody. And I cannot think of better work to be a part of, more noble work than that. And it's a joy to get to be a part of it. Now, our scripture reading reminds us that joy and fear are just not compatible. John, the Apostle John, writes, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love." Fear casts out all, or fear has to do with punishment. Friends, Jesus has taken the punishment for us. We don't need to fear punishment. Perfect love casts out fear. God's perfect love for us means we have no reason to fear. And when we are fully assured of that love, when we have accepted that love and love God in return, well then, as the psalm reminds us, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" The Lord is our light. Our light in the darkness, no matter what our darkness may be. Sometimes it's pain or sadness. Sometimes it's grief. But God shines into that darkness to speak words of hope, of mercy, of compassion, of peace, and of love. But I know that there are some darknesses that feel insurmountable. Cancer is a darkness that feels insurmountable. Death is a darkness that feels insurmountable. But may we never forget that Jesus has conquered death itself, and through him we can too. The Lord is our salvation. Okay, salvation, that's a big fancy church word, but what does it mean? It means preservation. Or deliverance. Through God's great love for us, evidenced in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we are preserved from death. We are delivered into new life. So we have no need to fear the worst, because the worst has already been defeated. So let us rejoice in that. Let us celebrate that. You know, for years, in the church I was brought up in, I was taught, either intentionally or unintentionally, that Christians should be reserved, cautious, even maybe a little bit severe. But the more I read Scripture, the more I come to truly know God's love in my heart, the more I live into that love and share that love with others, the more I cannot be reserved or stoic or severe. I just overflow with joy. Friends, we have been given the very best news. God loves you. God loves me. And God is busy restoring the entire world to the perfection that was intended from the start. And we get to help in that restoration work. We get to be bearers of hope and light and love and peace in this world. We get to know that the worst things are never the last things, for there are better days a-coming. We get to be part of the family of faith that stretches throughout time and all around the world. A family brought together through love and through faith. A family with God as its head. We are so incredibly blessed by a great and a wonderful God. Now I know how easy it is to focus all of our thoughts and all of our prayers onto the ways of this world. I know how easy it is to get sucked into skepticism and disgust at the way things are today. I know that it often feels futile to try to build God's kingdom when it feels as if the whole world is against you. I know that spreading hope and love often feels like beating your head against a brick wall. But I know, too, that when I feel that way, that that's exactly what the tempter wants me to think. I know that it is the voice of the accuser telling me that I can make no difference in this world. I know that feelings of futility do not come from God. It is the accuser that wants to squelch your joy in God. It is the tempter that tells us God could not possibly love us. So we shouldn't be afraid when those voices start to rise in our heads to tell those voices to sit down and shut up. Because our God is bigger than that. We need to focus more on the voice of God's love that is calling to us, telling us that we are cherished, telling us that we are just who we are created to be, and that God can and will use our lives for good, and that God's love does, in fact, conquer all. And if that's not a cause to rejoice, I don't know what is. Amen. Amen. Amen.